416. This is time of the afternoon. We answer your questions about coronavirus, how it spreads, how you can avoid getting it, what you need to know. Submit those questions to us, Facebook, Twitter, hashtag KNX Corona Questions, or send us an email, coronaquestions@knx1070.com. With us today, Dr. Michael Hirt, Center for Integrative Medicine in Tarzana.
Dr. Hirt, welcome back. As we learn more about this virus over the weeks and months, we're hearing about new symptoms and what they may indicate. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, there's an app called C-19. It's a free app. And 4.1 million COVID patients have signed up for this and filled out their symptom complexes. And what it's allowed us to do, as researchers have found out, is to go through this enormous amount of data, all of their symptoms, over what time period they developed them in the course of their illness, and break COVID down into six cluster types. And so by understanding what your symptoms are, you can figure out what cluster you fall into and therefore what your risk is of having a very serious case of COVID or something that you can just sort of stay at home and weather. And the main thing that we found is that for people who have like a flu-like illness, headaches, muscle aches, cough, chest pain, but no fever, their risk of getting into a hospital is less than 16%. The risk of being on a ventilator is less than 1.5%. As symptoms start to accumulate, including fever, diarrhea, some fatigue, profound fatigue, confusion, that gets you into cluster six, where you have all of those symptoms. And the risk of being in a hospital with cluster six symptoms is about 50% of those patients will get into a hospital, and up to 20%, or one in five, will require a ventilator. So if you're at home and you're having basic flu-like symptoms, no real fever, not much you have to worry about. But if you start accumulating symptoms, including profound fatigue and GI symptoms like diarrhea, chances are you may be developing something more serious. You're going to need to get in touch with your doctor earlier or get to the hospital earlier, because earlier diagnosis means earlier treatment, which means a better likelihood for you to get out of the hospital without a problem.
I guess it's one of those positives now that we're, you know, months and months into this, so we can kind of let some of the math do the work, because we have people who have reported all these things, and then you can go by the numbers that are out there. But from the doctor perspective, what has this been like for you to kind of learn more? And when you talk with other people in your fields, you know, there's some patients who come in all the time and they're convinced they have something. And they say, here's all my symptoms. But now maybe with COVID, when there are people complaining of strange things, I got palpitations or this or that, and they say, could it be? Maybe now you think to yourself, well, maybe. Maybe it could be.
Yeah, you know, after seeing so many patients with COVID and having these, you know, data studies telling us what symptoms are most likely, we're getting a pretty good sense. When someone comes in, I can pretty much smell whether or not they have COVID. I still get surprised sometimes, but these symptom clusters have really allowed us to identify what kind of symptoms to look for. Some people just have severe headaches. I mean, you know, headaches where I think they have meningitis, but it's really COVID. It is the really dominant and pretty much only infection going around right now. We haven't seen any flu. Even the common cold I haven't seen for months. It's really just dominated by COVID. So if someone has weird symptoms that are unexplained, they definitely need to get tested.
Wow. Okay, so for the ones on the lower end of the spectrum, the ones with the flu-like symptoms, are they the long haulers? Are they the ones that we normally see as the long haulers?
No, those ones tend to be the ones with more complicated symptom complexes, the people with confusion, headaches, terrible fatigue, cough, lots of chest pain. That goes on for a long time. I've had patients with chest pain, debilitating, really life-limiting chest pain. When they take a deep breath, it really, you know, hurts and stings like a knife is in their chest for 6 to 8 weeks after developing COVID. And, you know, it takes a lot of therapies to get those people turned around. Those are the sort of long haulers. The more symptoms you have, the sicker you get, the longer it takes for you to make a climb back to good health.
Let's talk about that study from the CDC. Found adults who were diagnosed with the virus twice as likely to have dined out at a restaurant recently. They didn't differentiate between dining inside and outside, so that's one point. But I guess some of this all comes down to, even if you're outside, you're safer. And we use that word instead of saying totally safe, because if you're at a table for a couple hours with some people and you're not wearing masks because you're at a restaurant, well, you're still getting the possibility of being exposed to something.
That's correct. Yes, true. Outdoors, I think, is the safest. It's sort of disappointing they didn't distinguish, because I think it makes a big difference here in L.A. You know, it's pretty much outdoor dining only, and I think that for most people is extremely reasonable in terms of risk management. I've been out, you know, to restaurants outdoors here in L.A. in Orange County. The staff in every place that I've gone to are extremely meticulous and careful. They're following all the rules, so I think that's fine. Indoors isn't safe unless you have an air scrubber. That air has to be as safe inside as it is outside, and unless you are using some sort of filtration system, it's not going to work. And remember that COVID can be passed through contagion, through your mouth and touching your mouth with your hands, and Americans have gotten really good with that, so I think that's much less likely right now. The rest of it is all air contamination, and that hasn't really settled into people, perhaps because it's invisible, and so they're not really paying attention and keeping inside their bubble and taking the precautions they need to when they're indoors in confined spaces.
Dr. Michael Hertz, Center for Integrative Medicine in Tarzana. Doctor, thanks.
My pleasure.